Let's open this morning with a word of prayer. Lord, as we meditate upon your word and as we remember your affection for us that you've shown to us in many and various ways, we pray, Lord, that you would bless this time for us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to start by sharing a true story with you, and it's a difficult story. There once was a young woman who had experienced trauma as a 15-year-old girl. She was out with her sisters. She had three sisters, all younger, and she was walking them home one day from an event when they were approached by a group of young men who were up to no good. Immediately, she realized that there was danger present as these young men were approaching her. She could tell something was wrong. She was on the track team. She was a very, very fast young woman, and she knew that if she ran, she could outrun the group. No problem. She could get away to safety, but she knew her sisters would not be okay. So she took the time and took the effort to make sure her sisters were okay. However, she couldn't get away herself. That night, she was gang-raped by those young boys. It's a true story. As a 15-year-old, she came to counseling a few years later and began to talk during the intake session to her counselor about what had happened to her as a 15-year-old. And the counselor assumed that she was there in counseling to work through this trauma of this event. However, the young woman actually told the counselor, "This experience is not the reason that I'm in counseling. I was able to survive this experience because as I look back on it, I realize that I lived out my values in that moment, and I've been able to be okay with what happened to me and survive what happened to me. A different experience has actually brought me to counseling. One day, her mom came home with four fur coats that she had gotten as a gift from a boss. And there were three daughters and her, and the mom began to give a coat to each daughter. She gave them to the youngest one first and then worked her way up to the three daughters. There was one coat left, and her mom said, "I'm actually going to give this one to my friend." And the mom did not give her a fur coat. The woman sought out a counselor not for the trauma of the experience that she had had as a 15-year-old. She sought out a counselor because her mom forgot to give her a fur coat and acted as if she didn't even exist. That's a true story, by the way. I didn't make that up. Today's theme is a simple one, and it's a beautiful one, and it comes from our intro. You can see at the very end of the intro, I want you to, if you have your bulletin open, open it up to the very top of page 3 at the end of our intro from Psalm 40 for today. Very top line, this is our thought for today. As for me, this is David talking to the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. The Lord takes thought for me. This morning we began our service with confession and absolution. It's how we always begin our services. I hope that every day for you there is a moment of confession in your life where you come before the Lord acknowledging who you are before Him. As Luther said it, I'm nothing. We are all beggars is one way he put it at the end of his life. He also described himself in very colorful ways at other points in his life, including words like maggots and things like this. But acknowledging who we are before the Lord, that we're nothing before the Lord, we're nothing without the Lord. And in order to survive, in order to have any sort of an identity, we need the Lord to give that to us. We need that, as it says in the book of Lamentations, your mercies are new every morning. That's what we need every day. So I hope for you at some point in your life, at some point in your day, every single day, you have that moment of acknowledging who you are before the Lord and asking the Lord to fill you up with His mercy and with His grace. That's how we start worship. Every time we come to worship, we're reminded that we are poor and that we are needy. And that's exactly what David is doing here. As for me, I am poor and needy. We might be poor and needy in the literal sense, as in, you know, we can't meet our bills or there's not enough food on the table. Maybe you've been at that place in your life. Maybe you've never been at that place in your life where you've never really been financially poor or physically poor or emotionally poor in this life, or financially or physically or emotionally needy in this life, although that is certainly part of people's existence. But by nature, we are poor and we are needy. Every single one of us, from the lowest to the highest in our world. By nature, we are poor, and by nature, we are needy. And that's because every single one of us walks out that door. In the morning, you get dressed, you walk out the door, and you walk into a world that is just broken. And it's just messed up. And every time we try to fix it, it seems like it just gets worse. And every time we try to make something happen, it seems like the opposite happens. Anytime we try to control what we have, we realize just how out of control we actually are. That's the first half of this verse. As for me, I am poor and needy. And David gets this. I'm sure you get it. But the delightful surprise comes in the second half of the verse. The Lord takes thought for me. The Lord takes thought for me. It's not just that when we were poor and needy, God made us rich and God made us lack nothing. Although if you know the beginning of Psalm 23, it's the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So we know that that's true. Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were needy, we lacked for nothing. God made us rich in him. So we know that's true, but it's not just that. It's not just that when we were poor and needy, we found abundant blessings on earth. Although we also know that that's true, because Matthew chapter 6 tells us, look at the lilies of the field, see how they grow. How much more will I care for you, my heavenly Father, those whom I love? The delight in this verse for us is that God remembers us. That God doesn't forget us. While we are poor and needy by nature, we are also remembered by the Lord. God pays attention to us just like a little child running around saying, Daddy, Mommy, look at me. You know how sometimes you look at them, sometimes you don't. God never doesn't look at us. God always takes the time to pay attention to his children. One of the most meaningful things in your life is when someone remembers you or when someone does something thoughtful for you. It can be nicer than the nicest gift that you ever receive. This is especially noticeable in the distracted world we live in of today. Do you often feel like people don't have time for each other anymore? Do you ever feel that way? Just that there's always something else. There's always someone else. There's always some other program. And it's just like people don't have time for each other anymore. And we as human beings drive ourselves wild doing and accomplishing and busying ourselves with things that make us feel important, things that make us feel like we're contributing to the cause. And by keeping busy, we are able to feel like we fit in a busy world. There's little appreciation for a life nowadays that is not constantly distracted. Or a life that's not constantly doing something or moving on to something else or constantly filling up its schedules. And it seems like the world is losing the practice of things like silence. It seems like the world is losing the practice of things like thoughtfulness. It seems like the world is losing the practice of making time for other people. Once again, God is not too busy for you. He's not too busy for us. He remembers his people and he cannot forget you. He made you. He can't forget you. In his great, his boundless, his matchless, and his priceless love for you, he supplies every need that you will ever have. He grants every good gift, and he mercifully shows you that there's nothing that will change you. So in the season of Advent, we have the candles. Today we light all four of them. Tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon, we'll light the Christ candle in the center, and that will remain lit for the 12 days of Christmas until Epiphany. Today, the fourth Sunday, is the Love Sunday, and it's where we reflect and meditate upon the love of God and how the entry of God into the world is symbolic of that love he has for love. It's an act of love to remember someone. There's something special about receiving a Christmas card in the mail that's handwritten. People took time out of their busy lives to handwrite you a note with your name on it, put a stamp on it, and send it to your house. There's something thoughtful about that. There's something special about someone taking you out to lunch to get to know you better. There's something special for people doing something that inconveniences them so that they show you that they're a priority in your life. And often when we're remembered, The reason what we're remembered is not for our performance, but for our existence. It's not about whether we made an A on a test or a B on an exam or whether we did really well in this endeavor. Most of the time, it's because a person just cares for who we are, regardless of how well we've done. Psalm 40 today is a psalm of David. He knew all the ups and all the downs of life. He knew that his downs were pretty down. Some of the things he did would get him thrown in jail for life today in our culture. And yet God had a thought for a murderer. God had a thought for an adulterer like David. And if he has a thought for David, and he has a thought for every other person on the planet, you and I, the worst of sinners, he has a thought for everyone we meet as well. There's this beauty to that, this act of love and delighting in just the fact that he made us, not about how well we perform, not about how well we do, but there's just the simple delight in us as his children. We read it, of course, a few weeks ago, Zephaniah chapter 3, 17, the Lord sings over his children, just like a mother or a father would sing over their child. Every person in life is singing a song. You see how he starts the intro it? David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Everyone on earth is singing some sort of a song. It's either a song of despair, people who have given up on life, people who just want it to be over already. You know these people. Or they're singing a song of deliverance. It's either despair or deliverance. Those are really the only two options. And they're singing a song of deliverance. It's always maybe directed at something that's not the Lord, but they're singing a song for something to deliver them. They're looking forward to something delivering them. Maybe that something, whatever they put in their trust in, maybe that's money, or maybe that's health, or maybe that's a good body, or maybe that's success, or maybe that's doing good for other people, or maybe that's some sort of higher power out there, some sort of other religious God, or maybe that's Jesus Christ in the case of a Christian. You and I are singing songs of deliverance to the Lord, just like David is singing a song of deliverance to the Lord today. He has put a new song in my mouth, and that new song is that song of deliverance, singing a song of gratitude as he waits for the day when that brokenness won't be there anymore, as he waits for the day when he can see God's perfect presence in his life and its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. He's remembering all those times also in this psalm that the Lord's remembered him, that the Lord has shown his goodness and shown his provision to him. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction. These are things that have happened in David's life, and he's remembering these things. He set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, because that's what David has done. Made the Lord his trust. He's basked in his forgiveness. And then see verse 7, a little later it says, then I said, here I am. Then I said, behold, I have come. This is the Lord speaking. Behold, I have come. As David waits, that's his comfort, knowing that the Lord has come, that the Lord takes thought for David in the midst of all of the stuff that's going on in David's life, that the Lord has come for him. One of the most beautiful verses in Scripture is Romans 5:8. God showed his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That in the midst of the brokenness came the great healer. That in the midst of the disease came the great physician. That in the midst of the self-inflicted war came the peacemaker. That in the midst of our lacking came the one who lacks nothing. That in the midst of our grief came the one who binds up the heart of those who grieve. That in the midst of our death came the one that brings life. That in the midst of a world too busy to notice came a baby in a manger. Luke 1:39-45 is the gospel for today. It's a story of Mary and Elizabeth greeting each other after they both find out how they've been set aside for something very special. Two humble women set aside for a very special purpose. They were not exceptional women. They weren't great. We don't know if they were great business women. We don't know if they were great at handling their money or great at sewing or great at crafting or great at whatever it was that they would have been compared to in that society. We don't know if they were exceptional in any way. We do know that they were exceptionally faithful women. It does say that. But they're not necessarily the kind of person that you would remember. A little teenage girl from a nothing town in the middle of nowhere. And then an old woman who couldn't even have children. She was not respected in wider society because she couldn't have kids. Not noteworthy, that's for sure. Two very normal people. And yet God remembers them. And God notices them. Just like he remembers and he notices the faithful ones here on earth walking by faith. God makes Elizabeth and God makes Mary part of this grand salvation narrative. He glorifies them. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, is what it's called. Why? Not because they're exceptional, not because they make tons and tons of money, not because they had great bodies. We have no idea what they look like. We have no idea what kind of money they made. We have no idea whether they were successful or not. God notices them because they love him. God notices them because they're faithful to him. And God notices them because he made them and he loved them first and he came to them first. Even in the midst of barrenness came glory. You may know the words for love in the New Testament in Greek. You've probably heard this before. You know, there's a couple of them. Agape, of course, is the most well-known one, the Greek word for love, and that specifically means the self-sacrificial deep love of God for humanity. There's another word, phileo. That's kind of like a brotherly love. That's the love between you and me. You know, we have great love for each other, but our love pales in comparison to the love that the Lord has for us. Do you know what the Old Testament word for love is in Hebrew? Anybody? It's the word chesed. I don't know if you've ever heard that word chesed before. It means long-suffering, patient, merciful love. That's kind of the definition of love in the Old Testament. You know where that word comes from? It's a cognate, it's a similar word to the Hebrew word for womb. Like a woman's womb, where babies come from. God's love is compared to a mother's unconditional love for her child. No matter what your child's doing, whether things are good or whether things are bad, whether things have turned out like you hoped they would or whether things have not, whether your child is healthy or whether your child is sick, you don't forget your child. You never forget your child. You can't forget your child. It's a love that cannot forget. It's a long-suffering, it's a patient, it's a merciful love. It's a fierce love that doesn't give up, that will follow and pursue and understand and forgive and reclaim a lost child no matter where he or she goes and no matter what he or she has done. It's a love that cannot forget. It's Christmas time. I'm sure you all have family members that are easy to love. Then you have the family members that aren't so easy to love. You have friends that are easy to love or people at your church or people in some social organization or people at your work that are easy to love. You love hanging out with them. And then you got those people that you're just really hoping they don't come to the Christmas party this year. It's easy to love people that are easy to love. That's probably the most obvious statement I'll ever say up here. It's easy to remember the people that we want to remember. And it's easy to forget those whom we would not rather remember. We forget people often that are not like us. We forget and we don't show care for people that are hard to show care for, or hard to love. People like the addicted, or people like the unconventional, or the people who are manipulators, or people who are lonely, or people who are socially awkward, or people who are politically or ideologically different from us, people who are poor, people who are sick, people who are foreigners, people who are sinners. And yet those are the people that Jesus loved. The addicted, the unconventional, the manipulator, the lonely, the politically or ideologically different, the socially awkward, the poor, the sick, the foreigner, and the sinner. And these people are the ones that we are called to love. Don't settle for a love that looks like the convenient love of the world. That's settling when you do that, which teaches us to love only those who are like us or only those who think like us. Think of those like a man named Mamani Abdu. He's a Muslim. He was a Muslim anyway. He lives in Niger, the country of Niger. But what made him distinctive is he actually had leprosy. Leprosy is not a disease that affects people like it did a long time ago, but he had leprosy. And if you know anything about leprosy, it's very, very, it makes people not want to touch you. It makes people not want to be around you. Makes people not want to come near you. Of course, there's a famous story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers, going places that nobody else would go. Because he had leprosy, nobody would touch him. He became very socially isolated. He was a Muslim, but even his Muslim family rejected him. The only people that would touch him were nurses at a local hospital. He came in to get treatment. They touched him. They helped lead him through a series of, through healing, and it was really rough. He lost both of his hands and one of his legs to leprosy. These women were Christian women, and because of that, he is now a Christian. He is no longer a Muslim, because people that loved him loved the unlovable in him, loved the untouchable part of him. And that selfless love changed his heart, and God has changed people through him. We're talking about him today for a reason. Who is the person at the bottom of your list? Maybe it's people you like. Maybe it's people that you have really that are easy to get along with. Maybe it's people that you've thought of a lot at the top of your list. But who's at the bottom? Who's at the bottom of your list? That person that you struggle with the most? Person you'd never think to share a word of encouragement with? Or maybe the person you'd never think to invite to lunch or send a card to? Person you've decided in your mind isn't worth your time? Who is that person? How can you love them this Christmas like the Lord has loved you, chief of sinners, though you are, and chief of sinners, though I be? I want to finish with this. If I could get someone to help me, I have something I'd love to pass out to people. So if I could get a few volunteers to help me come pass this out, that would be great. These are the lyrics to a hymn called The Love of God by Frederick Martin Lehman. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks, Bill. When you receive it, I want you to just read these lyrics with me. Not in our Lutheran hymnal. I don't know why, but I didn't make the hymnal, so they didn't ask my opinion on this. The Love of God by Frederick Martin Lehman. In Bible class this morning, Jim and Alan and others in that class were talking about the end of the book of John, especially John 20, 31, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. And also at the end of the book of John 21, where John says, if you took all the trees in the world, sliced them into paper and wrote down and filled up every single page, it still wouldn't be enough to tell of the love of God. That's kind of reflective of this hymn. So I'm going to read these lyrics, and I encourage you to read along with me. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. And the chorus goes, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and the angels song. And the second verse, one that's particularly beautiful to me. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. May the peace, the love, and the abiding presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken a thought for you, be with you this Christmas. Merry Christmas.